I'm going to give you something here in Ephesians 1. Spiritual food that is so fattening. So many calories. Some of you turn your nose up at it. The Apostle Paul writes some beautiful, beautiful things here in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to answer a question that some have and have had for a long time. The reason that our generation mocks God and laughs at religion is because they've been told a lie concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I dare say there's some sitting here this morning that's never truly heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ accomplished all he came into the world to do. And God is doing all he decreed to do. Satan has not won. Christ wins. Verse 11 of this chapter says that God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's not sad over any loss. He's not troubled over any dilemma he has. He don't have any. He's God. Here's the common story. God loves everybody. He's doing his best to save everybody. He's doing his very best to save everybody. But he's not doing much good because people won't let him. And then they turn right around and preach that God is all powerful. But not more powerful than you. You won't let him save you. That is not the gospel. That is not. The gospel is the good news of the effectual work of God in redeeming his people through the sacrifice of his son at Calvary. That's the good news. I want to talk just a few minutes about one word in verse 7. Redemption. Referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In whom we. Now this we is not Adam's race. But Paul is writing to believers. And he said we have this redemption through Christ's blood. Who are the we? Well, in verse 1, they're called saints. That doesn't mean what the Catholics say. Somebody that's been, you know, super spiritual and lived a good life and they make them a saint. No, no. The word saints, which is used often in the New Testament for God's people, all God's people, comes from the word sanctity or sanctified. And it simply means set apart. Set apart. By whom? By God. Saints. Jude said it like this. We're sanctified by God the Father. Set apart. That term sanctified don't mean what a lot of people thinks it means. When I was growing up as a boy, I'd go with a friend of mine to the Church of God sometimes, and of course, they thought sanctified meant women that didn't wear makeup and never did cut their hair and men that didn't smoke and all that kind of stuff. Well, all that has nothing to do with it. Sanctification is the work of God. And it means set apart, called saints. Also, he calls them faithful. This is all in verse 1 now. faithful in Christ Jesus. You'll have to get your Bible and read. Don't read your Bible like you're running a foot race. Be still. Read it a word at a time. God will talk to you. He calls the Lord's people faithful in Christ Jesus. Not faithful to Christ Jesus. We'd like to claim that. But no, it's not the feeble measure of our faithfulness to Him that's worth anything. It's much more blessed than that. It's faithful in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you're as faithful as He is. You can listen to works religionists all you want to, hoot about their being faithful to Christ Jesus. I'll take Paul's words, faithful in Christ Jesus. These are some good, rich statements down through these verses. See, I'm not interested in what we are in us. I'm interested in what we are in Him. Because what we are in us is sending us to hell. What we are in Him is taking us to be with Him forever. Faithful in Christ Jesus. That's the good news, and that's the emphasis of this passage. Verse 1, we're faithful in Him. Verse 3, we're blessed in Him. Verse 4, we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, we're predestinated by Him to be His children. Verse 6, we're made accepted in Him. And verse 7, we're redeemed by His blood. It's all about what we are in Christ. You're nothing outside of Christ. But we're blessed with all these spiritual blessings in Christ. Now this word redemption, it's a very important word. It's a very blessed word in relation to the gospel. Now for folks saving themselves, it's not so important. I talk to a lot of people saving themselves. They're actually going to obtain God's favor by the good they do and the bad they don't do. They don't mind telling you. This word redemption means nothing to them. Redemption is for those locked in a bondage and can't loose themselves from it. The bondage of sin. The bondage of sin. So what is redemption? The word redeem, redeemed, redeemed. It means to buy back. To buy back. It concerns a previous ownership. Something that is really yours and you've lost it. And you have to buy it back. That's what it means to redeem something. You can't redeem something you never owned, something you never had. That's just a first-time purchase. But to redeem means to buy back. I think you've heard this common illustration used about taking something to the pawn shop. You need a little cash and you leave it for 30 days. Well, you can get it back. But buddy, it's not yours until you pay to get it back. I got my gun over at the pawn shop. I got my boat over at the pawn. No, it ain't yours. It's over there. It's not yours. You go pay for it again. Really is yours. But you can't lay your hands on it. Do you pay? A former pastor used to tell this illustration about this little boy that made him a toy, made him a little boat. I mean, he carved it out, made it nicely, painted it, put a sail on it. And he'd play with that little boat he made every day. And he'd put it in a little stream down behind his house and would follow it down through the ripples and would go down there and catch it every day. And one day after it had rained a lot, been raining for 2 or 3 days, and the stream was really up, went down there and placed his boat in. It went to moving a lot quicker than he thought. He wasn't paying attention, and it got away. He lost it. He lost it. A few weeks later, he was in town with his mother, walking down the street. And he looked in a window where there was just kind of a shop there that sold stuff like that. Toy store, used stuff. And he saw his boat. And he said to his mother, "That's my boat. Let's go in and get my boat." Well, they did. They went in. And he told the man, "That's my boat." And the man said, "No, it's my boat. I traded for it. I got it. And it's for sale." And so the little boy begged his mother, and they had to buy the boat. Well, when he got it in his hands, he started talking to it. And he said, "You're mine. I made you. I love you. I'm sorry I lost you. But now I've bought you back. And I'll never let you go again." That's redemption, to buy back. Now what am I saying? God's people. This is verse 4 of this chapter now. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Previous ownership. Lost in Adam, but belonging to God all the time. You say, "Well, now, didn't Christ die to redeem all of Adam's race? Didn't he love everybody? Didn't he pay for everybody's sins?" If he had paid for everybody's sins, not one of Adam's race could possibly go to hell without him being a failure. See, that's not what's being taught nowadays for the gospel. What's being taught nowadays is that Christ was pretty much a failure. And what I said in the beginning, God's doing everything in his power to get the attention of as many as he possibly can, but he ain't doing much good in our generation, is he? No, here's the truth. Christ redeemed all the Father gave him from the beginning. You can read about this in John 17. Christ said it about a half a dozen times. "Father, I've come to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." And he kept on saying that. "Them thou hast given me. Them thou hast given me." And he went on and he said, "I pray for them which thou hast given me." And he went on to say in verse 9 of that 17th chapter of John, "I pray not for the world." Huh? Sure did. Our God is victorious. Christ, our Redeemer, will get what he paid for. That's the gospel, that Christ wins. Christ wins. You say, "Well, don't we supposed to witness to people? Don't we supposed to tell people about the Lord?" Absolutely. But I'm telling you, except God, the Holy Ghost, work in their heart. And he'll only do that if they're his from eternity. They're not coming. It'll go in one and out in one ear and out the other. Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." You want to know who's coming to the Lord? That's exactly who's coming to the Lord. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Nobody else is coming. And the rest of the verse says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, which means never under any circumstance, cast out. I will not. And you hear that part of the verse quoted an awful lot. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. But the first part of the verse tells us who's coming. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Jesus went right on in that same chapter and said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And yet folks run around, oh, we're doing the work of God. There's a crowd asked the Lord in the Gospel of John, tell us what to do that we might work the works of God. Jesus said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. And folks are being told, if you'd straighten up, quit your meanness, God'd do something for you. No, if you straighten up and quit your meanness, God's done something for you. So we got it backwards. Got it backwards. A lot of people have a hard time making a distinction between good works because we're saved rather than good works to be saved. You probably can't do enough good to make us like you, let alone God. It's not in our doing. It's in what Christ has done. And we bless his holy name for it. Redemption. Redeemed. What does it involve? It involves the payment of a price. He paid it on the cross. That little boy couldn't walk in that toy store and just take it. Take his boat. Had to be bought back. That's what redeemed means. And that's why Christ went to Calvary. And Peter says it like this. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know. Or we ought to have sense enough to know. That you were not redeemed. With corruptible things. As silver and gold. From your vain conversation. And that word conversation means lifestyle. Received by tradition from your fathers. Salvation is not inherent in human blood. Oh no. He says, here's how we're redeemed. With the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So a price was paid. A price was paid. Redemption, what it ensures for us. Paul told us in verse 6, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's what God's people are insured of, are certain of, assured of. Acceptance. Notice it said, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Not acceptable. That's what a lot of folks want to say. Oh, Christ died on the cross and he made you acceptable. All you got to do is do your part. No. The Bible don't say that Christ died and made us acceptable. It said he died for his people and he made them accepted. Accepted. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Christ died for us. The us being God's people. None of the New Testament epistles, Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude, they're all writing to believers. They're not writing to Adam's race. You can't read all these us's and we's and all these blessings and give it to a God-hating world out yonder. It's for those who have had a heart change, a heart transplant, and a heart for the Lord. One more thought and I'll quit. what this redemption inspires in us. It inspires in us a desire to worship Him, praise Him, commit our lives to Him, and obey Him. Paul said in verse 3, blessed be God. Wow. For all this He's done for us. For all these blessings. And he said in verse 6, it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. Not us, not us or anything we do, but His. I heard a song this week. I was flipping the radio. I'm crazy for doing that. But I flipped it on, and this was a popular group in our part of the country. And if I called their name, some of you get mad at me. But they sung a song, and the basic message of it was, God must have seen something in me and saved me. No. Anything He saw in you was reason to put you in hell. He saved us for Christ's sake. God must have saw something in me. He didn't see nothing good in you. Even the Apostle Paul said that. In me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, I had a 2-hour sermon and I've just chopped it all to pieces here, so I just quit right there is all I can say. All right, let's receive the offering. Some of you men come pass the plates. What have I been saying? I've been saying that we do not worship a failing God. He's saving everybody He purposed to save before He hung the stars. And He's damning the rest. And He's absolutely just in doing so. When God puts people in hell, He's just. If He puts you in hell, He's just. Salvation is of grace. And it's His mercy bestowed upon us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us in His Son, as the book of Revelation said, without fault before the throne of God. The Song of Solomon said, there is no spot in thee. You're perfect. You're pure. You're clean. Not this old flesh. Oh, no. Don't hand me that. It's bad news and headed for the graveyard. But this one living on the inside, the new creation, the work of God, is doing all right and going to live forever. Bless His holy name. So Christ, the good shepherd, came seeking after His sheep. And how many is He going to find? Every single one of them. And of course, this man-made religion says, well, how can He know when He finds them all? How does He know how many He's got? He knew how many He had before He made the world. He said, that's strong stuff. This is the only doctrine. This is Bible doctrine. This is the only message that gives God credit for being who He is. This is the only message that gives Jesus Christ the credit for being a success, 100% successful. If hell could get even one that Christ claimed for Himself, then Christ is a failure. But it can't happen. It can't happen. That's sermon number 2. I'm through. Let's stand together. You say, well, I never heard nothing like that before. Well, then you just go on talking about that little Jesus. It's so pitiful. He's just so desperate, and He's just begging people to please cooperate so He can kind of save face and is, no, no, no. He's running right on schedule. All is well.